all that he had, he put under his authority. Now, Joseph was now being trained. Except the training schools that God put him through were not those that he would have chosen himself. And any one of us have been long enough as a Christian, you notice this. The training schools he chose for you are not those you chose. If you had made your own choice, it would have been different. But God always knows better. And the first training he had was within a household, a reasonably big household. But what was the training? It was trainings of honesty, trainings of dedication, trainings of diligence, training of how to take care of others under him. And God only gave him a small little circle, Potiphar's house. But it was a very responsible job. I mean, he was trusted with everything. Everything. He was in the position where he could do wrong. I mean, the more you're in a position of trust, the more potential you have that you could do a greater wrong. And he did no wrong. Though he did no wrong, think about Joseph. He has served some years. He has served some years in Potiphar's house. He didn't immediately become the overseer, I presume. Because by the time he was sold in the Potiphar's house, other slaves had been before him. And I believe he worked his way up. He showed his diligence. He showed his submission. Although he came from a background where you would say he was born with a golden spoon. Right? Jacob was a very rich man. But yet, he became responsible. So he must have worked his way up. So give him a couple of years to work his way up. And by the time he was the foremost man in the house, Joseph could have said, well, this is my destiny. I'm happy. I have food, I have clothing, I have shelter, I have lots of money, I have influence. He would say, well, I believe I will settle here. I believe I will settle here. And think about it, if nothing else happens, Joseph probably would have settled here. He would say, I don't want to go any further. This is enough for me. But remember, on this earth, God's vision for our life is not what we call the Singaporean dream. One wife, a husband, one spouse, two children, one house, one car, lots of money in the bank, lots of holidays, maybe a cat or a dog. And, you know, isn't that international everywhere? The modern desires of a modern person, whether it's Singaporean, Australian, or American, right? They call it the American dream, the Australian dream. You think about what their dreams are, it's basically food, clothing, shelter. And in the Bible, in Jesus, food, clothing, shelter is just level one of existence. He says, Jesus said this, not me. Jesus says, is not life more than raiment? Is not life more than food? Is not life more than position? Is not life more than recognition? It is. Life is about serving God. You don't have to be full-time to do that. But it's just living our lives pleasing to God and be a testimony wherever He is. He wants us to be. Joseph could say, this is the life. But God had other ideas. Along comes Potiphar's wife. Because Joseph was a handsome man. Potiphar's wife had an eye on Joseph. So every day, in fact, in the Apocrypha, right? And it goes in a long story. And it speaks about how every day Potiphar's wife would be waiting for him. And how Potiphar's wife would sometimes come to Joseph's door and knock on him. Joseph. In the most seductive voice she could think of. Joseph. Joseph. Every time Joseph passed by, he said, Joseph, Joseph, can you help me? Every day, and it was a torture to Joseph. He keeps trying to run away, and she keeps running after him. And in the end, she was determined to get him any way she could. And so one fine day, she pretended she needed help, grabbed Joseph's raiment, and Joseph had to run off, and then she said, rape, rape! And poor Joseph was locked up. When Potiphar came back, Potiphar was angry. Joseph, what did you do? I trusted you. What could Joseph say? Because the one who accused him was Potiphar's wife. I believe Joseph could not defend himself. In the end, when Joseph was shut in prison, in the writings of a Jewish guy named Josephus, you read Josephus' writings, and he records how Potiphar's wives come to Joseph's prison. When Joseph was in prison, I mean, he could move nowhere. She said, Joseph, Joseph. She was still after him even after that, because she had wanted him all to herself. There was Joseph. Suddenly he lost everything again. Now you would think that if you lost everything once in your life, it was bad enough, right? But here he lost everything a second time. Let me ask this question. How many people were turned away from God at that time? How many Christians who have experienced hardship and you lost everything the first time, just one time, they were turned away from God? My friends, there are more Christians out there who are turned away from God. If you bring all the backslider Christians back to God, you could have filled a mega church today. And many times our ministry is first to His sheep and then to the lost. Because these are those who had knew God once. But Joseph didn't experience it once, he experienced it twice. He lost everything the second time. And here he was in the worst prison. A prison that, I mean, it's beyond what we could imagine. This was an Egyptian prison. So he landed up in prison. And yet, Joseph did not give God up. And that is why, my friends, I tell you this. The world can steal everything from you. People can try to take everything from you. They can take your money, they can take your house, they can take your reputation, they can take everything away from you. But no one can steal the dream and the vision in your heart if you don't let it. Because all those things in this life is made up from those things in the spirit world. If God so anoint you to be blessed, what you are blessed with physically is only a manifestation of the blessing that He actually is blessing you. Correct? Because you have to be blessed first by God, then you become materially blessed or whatever way God blesses you. So even if the material and physical is cut off, as long as the spiritual is not cut off, the physical will come back again. It will come back again. Which is why I encourage many ministers. There are many ministers out there who have turned away from the Lord because of hardship or difficulty. And I told them this. If God called you to be a pastor or an evangelist or a prophet or any minister, and it's your destiny to minister to 10,000 people. You can go to anywhere in the world, and even if you're given a church there of 10 people, if you have an anointing for 10,000 people, somehow or other, now it won't be instant, it won't be immediate, because each place, each situation has their own battles, but eventually, you will still reach 10,000 people. However, if God never anointed you and called you to minister to 10,000, and let's say your anointing is to 100 people, we could take you and put you in a place with 10,000 people. And you think in the natural world, you could keep maintaining it. No. Something will happen so that in the end, it's the 10,000 is reduced to 100. Because it's not dependent on the what is outside. It's dependent on what's inside in your spirit. Now, those things are not going to happen instantly, but that is the law of the Spirit, and that's the law of God. So even though Joseph the second time lost everything, he didn't lose his relationship with God. When he went to prison, he went to prison with the grace of God to be a ruler. And an anointing is in on his life to be an overseer. He was stripped of everything but the anointing of God. And when he went to prison with that anointing of God in his life, in chapter 39, we read about it here. When he was thrown into prison, and then in chapter 39, the last part in verse 20 to 23, in Genesis, Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now look, God had gone before him. And now remember, when he went in as a prisoner, he has to start as a normal prisoner. So he could be prisoner number 11,666. Well, let's change it. 667. Right? Some of you don't like 666. And the keeper of the prison committed. Now, notice, he committed to Joseph, to Joseph's hands, all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. Now, the prison, and I read some history, the Egyptian prison had more people than all of Joseph's Potiphar's house. So in fact, while the world looks at it and see Joseph going from up to down, and this was Joseph, the graph of Joseph's life. He started way up here. Jacob's favorite son. Rich. Born with a golden spoon. Well loved. And then he drops. Zoom! It was like a stock market crash. Zero. Then he builds himself up somewhere halfway here, and he's in Potiphar's house maintaining. And when he was accused wrongly, shoot, down to zero again. In fact, below zero, because he is now a prisoner. It dropped way below even where he started, because just now he was a slave, now he's a prisoner. And he went way down below. In our natural, it looks like he's going worse. But do you know, in God's eyes, it was a promotion. Some of you are now praying, "Oh, Father God, don't promote me like that." Be careful what you pray. Careful what you pray. Some of you say, "Oh, God, I really like to be like Jesus. Thank you for this innocent prayer." Because the next day you meet someone whom you really have to be like Jesus. And so there you are, way down. In the world, you went down. But in God's eyes, it was a promotion. It was training school number two. He had more people to be in charge of, more people to take care of, and it was also a responsible job. And so the Bible tells us here,